Welcome to Beyond the Whiteboard. This week we talk with Michael Rod Rodriguez. Rod is the president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Monument Foundation, and it's his mission to honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice with a monument in Washington, D.C. Enjoy this week's episode.
All right, Rod, would you mind telling us about yourself a little bit?
Sure thing. Yeah, and then another question, right? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
My name is Michael Rodriguez. Most people call me Rod. It's kind of a nickname I picked up in the Army. You know, you would wear our last names on our uniforms, so Rodriguez is sometimes hard to say, so they say Rod, you know, and it's like a normal thing. So my father in Vietnam was called Rod. Both my grandparents, both my grandfathers are, you know, they Rod in World War II. And my son is kind of funny. He's currently serving in the 82nd Airborne. He's a much bigger, stronger, smarter version of me, and he's called Little Rod sometimes, and he drives him nuts, but I kind of get a giggle out of it. But I served in the Army for 21 years. I consider it to have been a blessing to serve this great nation that we live in that capacity. I retired out of Fort Bragg. I was in the Army 21 years, and finally I got medically retired. I experienced several different injuries during my career, a good portion of those combat-related. So I was medically retired after 21 years. My son is, like I mentioned, he's currently serving at Fort Bragg. I feel bad for the kid. We got to Bragg in 97 when I went to selection and did what I did in the Army. And so he grew up there. He joins the Army. Now the poor kid's stationed there. He's stationed. It was good for me because he's got a son. So I got a grandson now, which is pretty awesome. I got two other sons. One's finished the second year of community college. My youngest son's a football player. Let's see, what else can I tell you? When I retired, I kind of pursued working in the nonprofit space, charity space, trying to give back, you know, Right. Continue finding a different way to serve. And then, I worked for President Bush for a few years as an advisor, kind of guide his strategic vision on how to better serve post 9/11 veterans and families. I did that for about 3 years. And currently I'm the president and CEO of a nonprofit called the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. And what we are is we are the congressionally designated nonprofit to build a national Global War on Terrorism War Memorial in Washington, D.C., much like, you know, the Vietnam Wall, World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial. And so that's kind of me personally, quote-unquote professionally, I suppose. How you and I met, I love how people kind of linked together was, of course, the Soren family, the amazing event, Summer Strong down there. You know, I've known the Sorens for a while now, and been fortunate. Again, another blessing, I think, in my life to have gotten to know them, become close family friends with them. And that's kind of where we linked up, you know. That's pretty good. I don't want to keep talking about myself, man.
Oh, no problem. No, it's all good. All good. Actually, that's what I was going to talk about next is kind of how we met. So just kind of fill the listeners in. But we met, I believe it was Summer Strong 11. You actually spoke there, and then came back for Summer Strong 12 and started talking about the Global War on Terror Monument. So, and that's kind of where I first introduced myself to you. And the one thing that stuck out in my mind, the first one, it was so many nuggets and so much information that came out. But you were talking about your son, and I think the Taco Viper story sold the show.
yeah, that was pretty cool.
That absolutely stole the show. But
you know, honestly, that might be the first time I've shared that in a public forum, you know, because the personal relationship I have, you know, I mean, I love the guy, you know, and the friendship that I have with President Bush is family. You know, I mean, he's like a buddy, you know.
Yeah.
But that was so that video and story I told was like our story, you know, and that was actually the Summer Strong 11 was the very first time I'm like, you know, I'm going to share this story. I think it's kind of cool. So that was the first time I shared
that
story.
That was absolutely a great story. So. Anyway, you know, I wanted to bring you on because you are the president and CEO of the Global War on Terror Monument Foundation. So I really wanted to get into that and get that out so our listeners can hear about it, because I know it's I didn't even know it was around until, you know, last year at Summer Strong. So can we talk a little bit about that? And
what started it? Yeah, so in 2015, a group of like-minded patriots, you know, veterans and their families got together, and they were like, look, you know, in 2015 we had been at war for 14 years, and like, look, I think it's time. You know, we need to see what we got to do to start this effort. So it started in 2015. And then I wasn't part of that initial core group, but in 2016 I met them at a different charity event, and you know, because of some of the personal relationships I have, I was working for President Bush at the time. They're like, "Hey, would you help?" And much like yourself, Joe, I was like, "Who are you? What are you doing?" Right. You know, I was like, "Well, hell yeah, I'll help. Of course, I believe it is a shared duty that all of us as American citizens hold to." You know, honor those that are willing to step forward and, you know, serve us, you know, protect the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy every day. So I joined the board in 2016, and then unbeknownst to, I guess, everybody, unless you're involved in this, there is a, we had to pass a law in order to do this. And what I mean is, yeah, so there was a law on the books under this act, because it's called the Commemorative Works Act of 1986. And basically, it's kind of a rule book, I suppose, on how to build a memorial. It lays out the 24 steps, and anyway, it's all this stuff, right? But within there was a statement that said and this was written in 1986. It said a war had to be over, completed, cessation of conflict for a period of 10 years in order for a national war memorial to be built. Now, I think that was a dumb idea in 1986, and it's. Given the fact we're approaching the 18th anniversary of the war here right now, right. You know, it's definitely a dumb idea now, you know, because we are in a multi-generational conflict with really no forecasted end in sight. You know, I deployed, right. My son's deployed, you know, this is a multi-generational war. So, you know, my son deployed and fought in the same war I fought in the same area of Afghanistan. It's kind of crazy. Wow. So, in 2017, we introduced the bill shortly after President Trump was inaugurated. And I don't like to use the word bipartisan. This is a nonpartisan issue. Whenever you say bipartisan, people assume their sides. I don't look at it that way. It's nonpartisan. There's no politics involved here. So we introduced this with it was a nonpartisan bill. Obviously, we were smart and had both sides involved. And it passed like in 6 months with overwhelming unanimous support. And the House and Senate. And then what it did was, and that was when us as a foundation, you know, we're a 501c3, we were officially handed, you know, the torch. Like, all right, you guys are congressionally designated. You're the only ones that can do this, you know, basically given the charge to, you know, our charter to do this. So then in 2017, that's what happened. In August of 2017, President Trump signed the National Global War on Terrorism War Memorial Act. So, like, all right, we got the football now, right? So then 2008, you know, a few months after that, the board kind of came together. We're like, oh, crap. Well, not crap, like, oh, no. But it was like, wow, that was a great idea. It happened so fast. Now we got to do it. You know, now we have to act. So in 2018, the memorial did a big change. And then the board approached me to take over in the leadership role. So that's what we did in 2018. We kind of had to build the foundation that would be capable, you know, lay the frame. Like, you know, like I think about like a startup, you know, we gotta have everything ready for us to grow. Like we gotta be able to support what we're doing. And that's what we did in 2018, continued to grow. That's when, you know, I felt comfortable enough to approach, you know, my boss, you know, the buddy, President Bush, to join as an honorary chairman, as well as a bunch of other notables and friends of mine to join the board and board of advisors. We built out an ambassador class of, you know, supporters. You know, and that's really what we started doing in 2018. And that was when, you know, we just continued to keep pushing this, you know, this big rock uphill. You know, because like I mentioned earlier, it's a 24-step process in order to get this done. And we are currently on steps 9 through 12, which is site selection. So right now we're trying to figure out where is it, where are we going to put it? You know, it's a whole, I don't want to bore your listeners, but a bunch of them probably already tuned off by now. I hope not. But that's where we're at right now. You know.
So, and it's going to be in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it will be in Washington, D.C. On the mall, you know, where all the other stuff's built at.
Right. What, so how much money are you trying to raise to get the
show? Sure. So this is an estimate. Our initial fundraising goal is $50 million. Now, that sounds like a lot, but let me put it in perspective. Obviously, it's in Washington, D.C., so everything's expensive. I think Coke is like $3, you know. the World War II Memorial cost just short of $200 million. Martin Luther King Memorial was over $100 million. You know, so when you look at the cost of certain things, we were like – you know, I think $50 million is probably a conservative number.
Conservative,
at this point.
Definitely.
So we started with $50 million because the truth is that we don't even know how big it's going to be. We don't have a design yet.
Okay.
Because I don't think we should come up with a design. And then if we get a space where it doesn't fit, you know, then we've just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the design. We have to redesign. I don't believe that's being a good steward of our fundraiser,
sure,
you know, dollars. So we're following the steps, you know, working with all the people that you have to work with, the alphabet soup of agencies that exist in Washington, D.C. that oversee this entire process.
Just out of curiosity, what step do you know? What step the design is? Is that after that?
Well, yeah. So the initial, after we get a site, then, you know, which are steps 9 through 12, that's when, okay, this is our footprint. Now we'll start working with that, you know. And once we get a design, you know, the design has to pass some of, like I said, some of these alphabet soup of commissions that exist. They have to approve it. So we still have a ton of work ahead of us. But it's you know, someone has to do it. I believe, like I said earlier, I think it's our duty to do so. And it's my undeserved honor to serve in this capacity at this time.
All right. So doing a little bit of research on this, when I first found out about it, now I'm getting to talk to you. You have some tenets in place for this, honor,
yes,
heal, empower, and unite. How is the monument going to – how are you hoping the monument's going to fill those?
Well, here's a beautiful thing about this monument, or this memorial really is what it is,
okay,
is – it will be a piece of functional art. So think about it like that. Think about all the memorials that are out there right now. Those are artistic, they're artistic pieces. And like art, if you think about it, art exists in many forms. And if you really want to start diving into the, you know, how impactful art is, art takes on a life of itself.
Absolutely.
You know, and art has been around longer than the written word. I mean, we got cave paintings that date back hundreds of thousands of years to prove that. And art has the ability to share an emotion, tell a story, you know, unite people. I mean, art is immensely powerful. So it is our hope that we capture it, capture those four tenets that you mentioned, honor, heal, empower, and unite, within this functional art piece. But, you know, it's all up to the individual that's going to be visiting those sites. You know,
okay,
some of them, there'll be common themes, like we'll talk about the Vietnam memorial. You know, that is a very solemn and somber piece of art, but it's art. So it is our hope that once we get to the design phase, we're going to be adhering to these tenets that we came up with, you know, that will capture that, you know. And I wish I could say, well, it's going to do this, but I don't know. You know, I'm not going to. I don't pretend to know stuff. You know, I'm not one of those guys. I have never been an individual that was shy to admit his ignorance. You know, I'm like, I don't know anything about that. Can you tell me? Because that's how I learn. You know, I don't pretend to know anything.
Absolutely, and just surround yourself with the people that know. So that's without a doubt.
Yeah, that's why when I took over, when I got the leadership role, I was like, all right, I need to make sure I'm never the smartest guy in the room, and people have way better plans than I do. And right. and that's what we did. We started bringing people together that have experience. And, you know, in building the team, after I took over, there were three things that I look for in building a team. I think that I learned this during my 21 years of service. And there's not like an Army manual that teaches you this or anything like that. This is something that I gleaned, you know, that I figured out how to do, you know, kind of an abridged version on building a team. You know, there's three things I look for. One is ability. You know, a lot of people are going to want to help in certain roles, like, for example, like to be maybe want to be on the board of directors. But do they have the ability, the capacity to provide the fiduciary responsibility of that role? You know, well, maybe there's another spot for them. So ability, you know, and this can be applied to any situation. Like, I was a sniper for 16 years. So, you know, if I'm going on a sniper mission, if you're not a sniper, I'm not going to take you as my sniper buddy. I'm sorry. You're not going to be the guy. So you don't have the ability. So ability is the first thing. The second thing is credibility. You know, are you the right person for the mission? You know, are you the right guy? Do you have the ability to work with others? You know, so credibility is extremely important when building a team. You know, you may have someone like even this phenomenal athlete, but just, you know, craps on everyone around him, doesn't work for the team. I don't care how good he is, that team is not going to function to their full capacity. If an individual is all about themselves, they're going to diminish other people's ability and performance. So right. credibility was a very important piece. The third thing, especially when, you know, working in the nonprofit space and what we're doing, the third thing I looked for was humility. Do they understand why we're doing this? Do they see this opportunity to join our team as an opportunity for them for self-aggrandizement or a stepping stone or a springboard to something else? If that's what they think, then maybe you're not the right guy for them, you know, right guy or gal to join this team. You know, right. So when you look at people's why, you know, why they want to do something, that's when you're going to find out their true intent, in my opinion. You know, and those, if you're looking at them as pillars, you know, humility would probably be my center pillar. But all those are built on a foundation of trust. You know, so if you get those three things together, ability, credibility, humility, and you trust one another, you know, that strong, solid foundation of trust, man, there ain't nothing you can't do. You know, and that's really how we've been moving forward, you know. And you know, anyone can go check us out. You know, we got some pretty we got a really good collection of servant leaders, you know, is what we have on our team right now.
Yeah, I was looking at that, you know, on your website, your top tier of leadership is pretty amazing. Looking at some of the names in there, for sure.
Yeah, I'm just lucky to, you know, have, you know, it's a blessing again. You know, I don't think I use that word enough, but I use it a lot. So it's definitely a blessing to know these people in conference.
Definitely. Where can how can we donate to the cause?
Well, there's several different ways that people can get involved. You know, one is obviously you can go to our website, www.gwotmf.org, and there's a donate. You go up on there and there's a donate button. You can go and donate. Another way, you know, and then we're also on social media. We have, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can follow us and just kind of track our progress. You can sign up for our newsletters on our website. You know, we send out periodically send out updates. You know, like, hey, this is where we're at. Hey, this is what we're doing. Hey, this is the current status of things. You know, that way people can see, like, okay, they're still moving forward, that we're not stagnant, you know, right. Which helps maintain our relevance and, you know, show the people, like, hey, we're working. We're putting your donor dollars to work. You know, this is what we're doing. And the other thing is, like, share it. You know, talk about it. Do exactly what you're doing, Joe. You're like, hey, man, this is what I can do. Come on my podcast. Let's talk about it. We'll touch my listeners or share it, you know what I mean? And talk about it. Have the conversations, because within those four tenets, you know, honor, heal, empower, and unite, just by sharing it, just by sharing that this is going on, you know, the empower piece. So through empower is a very, I love that word, but through education and engagement. You know, we've been at war for almost 18 years. It has become the norm. it's almost become like, well, it really is. You know, we've lost, you know, we're losing, you know, it doesn't really draw the attention it did in the early stages of the war. But we're still losing. This has been a very bloody year so far. We haven't lost this many since, I think, 2014. You know, it was a pretty rough year. But right now, it was a very, very rough year. And we're still a rough year. You know, there's still men and women dying, serving, you know. And, you know, sharing it, talking it, and having those conversations will kind of not necessarily it'll make sure that this is not a forgotten war. I don't think it's forgotten. People are like, oh, yeah. But it's become every day. You know, it's like the norm. Like, as an example, like you and I were talking before, you know, like yesterday was the 18th anniversary of the cowardly attacks from September 11, 2001. It's been like, oh, that was so long ago, or it's just normal. I think they've become desensitized to it.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like, oh, well, yeah, that happened. And they've moved on. Now, a part of me is happy that we're not terrorized anymore. You know, we're not living in fear like we were following those attacks. So if you want to look at it from that point of view, because the goal of terrorism is to destroy you economically. That's what they want to do. I mean, they don't have the capacity to come and invade us. But what terrorists want to do is they want to hurt you. And all they can do that is through economically. You know, they can, oh, let's do this. And, you know, but, man, we're enjoying the greatest economy we've had in I don't know how many years. I mean, so the longstanding, their desire didn't really pan out for them. You know, we've kind of outgrew it. We're like, yeah, we're stronger than that. But we still need to remember those that are making sure that it's not happening again. We need to make sure, you know, so that's what brings us, it kind of circles back around to what our efforts are. You know, we need, and again, I'm going to say, it's my third time saying it, it is our duty to honor the men and women that have stepped up and served. Now, this war has no precedent. No one could have forecasted we'd be in this multi-generational war, the longest war we've ever been in. No one could have ever. So this memorial has no precedent. Which means that we're fighting this war like we've never fought before. Here's something to chew on. So in January of this year, we lost 7 Americans fighting the global war on terrorism overseas. Of those 7, 4 of them were active duty service members. 3 of them were contractors.
Okay.
So, you know, having deployed the times I did, I served side by side with DOD employees, contractors, DOJ employees, you know, government workers, putting themselves in harm's way in service to global war on terrorism, you know, right next to me. So we have men and women serving in a multitude of capacities, and people don't think about that. They don't see that. That's why, you know, it is the mission. That's why it's within our mission statement. We are going to honor everybody that stepped up to serve. You know, this is not just for yeah, those, like, you know, those that wore our nation's uniform. There are so many ways that people are fighting in this war or serving in this war. And it's very important that the American citizen understands that, recognizes that, and honors that.
Definitely. And one thing, you know, we had talked about, too, I mentioned GORUCK to you. One thing that went, we did a 9/11 memorial ruck, and one thing that was, we were told, and it didn't, like a light bulb came on, because just like you said, you get desensitized to it. You don't realize it. But, you know, when someone dies 18 years later, it's still because those attacks on 9/11 caused that. You know, and you sometimes forget that because, you don't put it all together. You know, which that was kind of eye-opening for me on Friday night when we did that event. You know, he said, you know, the Green Beret that we lost last week was directly because of, you know, those attacks on 9/11. And again, 18 years later, and we're still losing people. So
exactly.
It's
without a doubt.
Yeah. And it was also interesting. There are people that, my daughter, for instance, she did the event with us, and she's 16, so she doesn't even know a world without the war on terror. You know, so she doesn't understand, like, you used to be able to go to the airport and not, you know, worry about stuff like that, you know, and just do whatever you wanted to. So, yeah, it's definitely, that empower is a great word for that. And we should remember everyone. Another thing that GORUCK always says is it keeps the, it keeps the flame going for all those the men and women that have died.
Yeah, and there's another thing to that is that we'll die as well.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. We're building a living war memorial to a living war. I don't wish any harm on anyone, but I'm also very pragmatic and realistic. You know, we are going to continue to lose American lives in this war.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a war. Yes, this is a war memorial to history, but it's also for future. I mean, this has never, ever been done before, which is why we had to pass a law 2 years ago in order to be allowed to do this.
Yeah.
So it's very unique. And again, like I said, it's my undeserved honor to serve this capacity at this time.
Definitely. Well, one other way we can share that, again, on there and just let our listeners know, there's also a store on there with some pretty cool, good-looking Under Armour gear to help spread the word. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we're going to be updating that here pretty soon. We'll get some more swag out for folks, you know. Just awesome. Stay tuned. I would just love people to talk about the mission, share it. You know, the other thing is that we're not trying to shape foreign policy either. We're just recognizing that. That's why it's a nonpartisan issue.
Right.
And we're just bringing people together and letting them know, you know, the global war on terrorism affects every single man, woman, and child, you know, in the United States right now, whether they realize it or not.
Right.
It touches their lives. It touches some of us a little bit more than others. You know, it's still touching you, which brings us together. You know, one thing I have to remind people is this is not a memorial to the events of 9/11. There are over 70 9/11 memorials that exist in the continental United States and about a dozen that exist outside our borders, which I think is a phenomenal show of solidarity,
really?
You know, worldwide. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Wow,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so this... You know, and while on 9/11, as yesterday, we all mourn the loss and the tragedy of, again, those cowardly attacks, those thousands that we lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all think back to those of us that were there and remember where we were and what happened, you know, the hours and days and weeks following that event. And we're reminded of, you know, we're touched, we're gripped. You know, me, it's very somber and powerful emotion to me. But what I also do remember is following those attacks, what did we do as the American people? We are a broad tapestry of beliefs, faith, ethnicity, whatever social label you choose. So, man, there is not a country that exists that is more diverse than the United States, which is where I think our strength lies.
Right.
But following those attacks, we were the American people. We weren't black, brown, white. We weren't Christian, Jew, Muslim. We weren't any of that. We weren't tall, short, fat, skinny, fit. No, we were the American people.
Right.
That is America's response to an attack. It's always been our response, which is why our fourth tenet is unite. In the building of this memorial, we will remind the American people who we are. Who are we as the American people? You know, I don't get me wrong. I'm proud of my ethnicity and my heritage and where I come from and where I can trace my lineage and all that. But I am an American. And that's who I identify with most is the American people, which, again, is that we're very diverse.
Yeah,
but
man.
That in the building of this memorial, that's what it is. This is a memorial to America's response following those attacks.
Right.
That's immensely powerful if you think about it.
Definitely. And as bad as 9/11 was, if America could be 9/12 every day, the way everyone came together, you know, on September 12th, those following days, it would be a pretty amazing place for sure.
Exactly. That's what we're hoping to capture. And that's what I wholeheartedly believe we'll capture. We'll remind Americans, like, who we are. We are the American people. I love our diversity. I love the fact we have not only diversity of heritage and culture, but diversity of thought.
Right.
You know, if I have a bad idea or I have an idea that's contrary to yours, you're not going to be shy to share it with me or tell me. And I hope to have a fruitful discussion on why you believe something or me. And if your reasons are better than mine, well, hell, you're right. You know, that's what's beautiful about it, you know, about us as the American people.
Definitely. No, I think we about covered it. That was amazing. So I want to... I kind of want to get off the foundation topic, and we've hit on the 9/11 thing, but I just, you know, you spent, you know, over 20 years in the military. Well, can you, and yesterday again being 9/11, we've kind of covered that a bunch, but what's September 11th like? Can you describe what that day means to you, or you know, how you feel on September 11th?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much like the week prior and the week following. For me, it's like it turned into like a 2-week thing for me. You know, I always try and reflect on, where I was in my life at that time. You know, who I was as an individual. I'm not saying 9/11 changed me at all, but I like to remember the world prior to 9/11. That's why I said it's a week, for me, it's a week prior. I try to remember how things were, where I was, where my thought process was, who was in my life, and why were they in my life at that time. And then following 9/11, I like to, for about a week, you know, I like to reflect on how I'm stronger, how our nation is stronger, how, you know, we I'm going to say we benefited from it, but we grew from it.
Right.
As a nation, and how really it impacted the entire world. You know, that's what makes it, you know, that's why it's called the Global War on Terrorism. This is not a war of conquest. This is not a war, you know, for land or, no, it's a war against terror. So for me, 9/11 is, I guess it's like 2 weeks, you know, it's like Mardi Gras times three, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. It's not one singular emotion. I don't know, rainbow of emotions for me. It's very powerful because, you know, I'm still connected to it. And obviously, if you're in the Army 21 years, probably the majority of your friends are in the military in some way. So are their families, you know. So, like, my son serving and I serve, we're not like a family of unicorns, you know. That's what we do. I mean, that's what, like, I have several of my best friends, their kids are serving right now. So it's, you know, I'm still touched by it every year. So, like that statistic I threw at you in January of this year, of those seven that were killed, two of them were close friends of mine.
Oh, wow.
You know, and the two 7th Group guys that were killed a few weeks back were young guys. I was in 7th Special Forces Group. I knew those guys. I knew them both. You know, and there was another contractor, a guy I knew, a warrant officer from 3rd Group, retired, got into contracting. He was killed, you know, about a month and a half ago. So it still touches me, you know, and I love those guys like family. So I don't want to say 9/11 never ends for me, but, you know, the war is still around me. That's why, you know, doing what I do right now is I consider it a privilege.
All right. Is your son, I know you mentioned it, is your son deployed now, or is he at home?
No, he is not. No, he is not deployed. He is stateside, but, you know, I can't speak to what his deployment schedule is, but right. Yeah, that's just the thing. You know, he's going to go back eventually.
Right. Yeah. Well, Rod, I think that was a perfect place to end this. I just, you know, I want to thank you so much for your service, you know, and your son, and I can't thank you enough for what you've done. So.
No, you don't have to thank me, man. I love what I did. Trust me, I had a lot of job satisfaction. But one thing I hope people look at is, you know, that people thank me for my service, and I guess I consider it a blessing. It was a choice. But there are so many good ways to be a patriotic American citizen. And it doesn't always mean, you know, putting on a uniform and picking up a gun and going into harm's way. You know, being a patriot is far more than that. You know, serve your local community, follow the laws, vote, you know, be a good person, smile once in a while, you know, help a stranger, you know, help a lady on the street, you know, like just that. Serve your local community, man. Just be a productive American citizen. That's patriotism.
Awesome. That's good stuff. Awesome. Well, again, we'll probably stop the recording there, and you know,
That's it for this episode of Beyond the Whiteboard. Thanks to this week's guest and sponsors for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out fortitudefs.com, where you can find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned and information about Fortitude Fitness. If you haven't subscribed to Beyond the Whiteboard on iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Beyond the Whiteboard.